again. My former pastor, Pastor Ed Grant, was here, I think, a couple of weeks ago, and he had told Leroy how he felt the presence of God in this church. And when I talked to him about, because he doesn't live too far from here, so he walked down here to visit, and one thing I told him is King's Fellowship is a praying church, and it's a faithful church to God. And he said, truly it is. And he was very happy to come and to fellowship with you guys and to hear the word of God. So I was so happy that he came here. But God is faithful, is he? God is so good to us. Amen. I was out last night visiting some people that I haven't seen in years. One of the girls that graduated from Daniel McIntyre had something at her place outside the city. And so my brothers had told me, so of course it's me being the youngest. Most of the people were my brother's age and their age, and not many people were from my class. So, but interesting, getting there, you see how people have changed. You see how we have changed. And as people get older. And there was a couple of other Christians there, but some people's habits don't change. They used to get drunk in high school, and they're still doing the same thing. And you just wonder, when I left there, I just, Lord, God's merciful. And you pray for those, because you know that they're hungry and that they're looking for truth. And unfortunately, the path they're walking is not the way that the Lord wants them to walk. So I'm glad I'm here today. I'm glad that the Lord woke me up this morning. I'm glad that he woke me up on time. I'm glad that he gave me my health and strength. And I'm glad that I'm in my right mind. Hallelujah. I want to start by, my message today is know who your portion is. Coming from the book of Lamentations, I'm coming from chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. Don't worry if you have your Bibles or not. I wrote my scriptures down. So the book of Lamentations is a collection of funeral poems offered on behalf of Jerusalem after its destruction by the Babylonians. Despite its bleak subject matter, it offers a biblical view of how humans can respond to God in their grief and in their distress. The book of Lamentations demonstrates the purpose and power of turning to the Almighty God. How we should put forth our concerns and asking him to help us and choose to trust him. This book not only serves as a memorial for the destruction of Jerusalem, but it also shows us how to pray when those dark clouds begin to come over us. So it begins by saying, because the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. Verse 23 goes on to say, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Father, help me to have the decrease, and you have the increase. One of the fears every time I speak is I don't want me, I want Christ. I do not want pride, I want Christ. So Lord, may you have the increase, and I have the decrease, as the John the Baptist said. So the biblical meaning of portion is translated into inheritance, which is something that is specifically for you. We know in our world when someone dies who we love and they write up a will, they often leave something for those who are left behind that they care about. And that something they leave behind is specifically for you. So when the writers say that the Lord is their portion, what they're saying is the Lord is their specific source of security and is their specific source of hope. That He is the all-sufficient one and He is the source of all we need and all we will ever need. The Lord is specifically for you. From the time that Jesus died on the cross, shedding His blood and His body, to this very day, we are living in what we call the dispensation of grace. Otherwise, God is pouring His mercy and His grace every second of the day on believers, but also on non-believers. Because the scripture says that the rain falls on the righteous and unrighteous, so does blessings. Something to ponder. Are the blessings in your life an indication of your walk with God? Or can I say, can you measure your moral and spiritual integrity by your physical blessings? Now, some Christians say yes, because God has given me a family, God has given me two kids, I got a great job, I'm making pretty good money, I got good health, and I have 2 or 3 cars. But if you show me a Christian that has all that, I can show you an atheist that has that and more. The blessings of God is an indication that God is overflowing in grace, despite man's relationship to Him. Many non-believers are enjoying the blessings of God and may never have a relationship with Him. I have a friend who's a doctor. He's an atheist, and he knows that I'm a Christian. But every time he comes to my office, he tells me what he has. And I let him spiel. Because every time I try to get a word, he doesn't listen to me anyway. But he talked to me about how he bought a condo for his son in Toronto and how he bought a condo for his son in Vancouver and how he bought a boat and how he has a large house with the river by the river with a music studio and also has a pool. And he takes about 2 or 3 trips a year. This past March, he went to France. In September, he's planning on going to Japan. And he just bought a cabin on an island. And he says, most of these things I get because my wife is kind of, if he has it, I want it too. But you see how frustrated and angry he gets when he doesn't get what he wants. But of course, I can't say that to him because he's intellectually a very smart and intelligent man. He's wrote a lot of papers, but you can tell that he's not content on the inside. So as believers, we know that the world defines success in terms of how much money you have and how you prosper and how happy you are. But we know that God defines success in terms of how much we are like Jesus Christ. We know as believers that in this disposition of grace, that grace means receiving something that we do not deserve. And mercy means not receiving something we do deserve. As believers, God shows us mercy when he forgave us for our sins and declined to hold us accountable for our sins. And then He went a step further. He extended this grace to us. How? By giving us eternal life through Jesus Christ our Savior. So now the characteristic of a Christian life is that Jesus gave His life for us and desires to express Himself in us. How often? Every moment. It's not about just serving Jesus. It's not about just living for Jesus. This grace walk is nothing less than being Christ-like. It's about Christ being in me, through me, how often? Every second of our lives. So the difference we know in this disposition of grace as believers is that Jesus came into us that our sins may be forgiven. That Jesus came into us so that we can go with Him into heaven. And that Jesus came into us so that we can live in this world as Christians. We know that God supplies all the riches according to His riches and glory, and that whether I have material blessings or whether I am healthy or not, we know that Jesus Christ loves us more than we love ourselves. We know that He has us in His best interest. And we know that we can really, I mean really, really don't have to worry about anything in this world when we look at it, if our faith is in Jesus Christ. Amen. But let us not to forget. Salvation is easy for us because it costs God so much. And this manifestation of salvation in our lives will sometimes be difficult. In Philippians 2:12, Paul says to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Now, this doesn't mean that salvation is based on works. But the Greek verb for render, work out, means to continually work to bring something to completion. We are continuing to work and be obedient to God until either He takes us home or He comes in the second coming. But when He says work, understand when we work, there's something working against us as well. I was talking to a brother and I said to him, if you were told to sit on your seat for 5 months, sit there, not eat, not drink, sit there in your excretion, sit there, what would happen to you? Well, first of all, you decompensate. Your body wears down. And as you decompensate, your mind wears down as well. Your skin will break down. And you will slowly die because you're not working going forward. When I get up in the morning, I brush my teeth because I don't want to have cavities. I wash because I don't want germs. I take care of myself. I need to keep going forward. If I break an arm, I go to the hospital and I get a cast. So we're created to keep going forward to doing things. And the same thing spiritually. If you are not going forward, if you're sitting there and going backward, you're not moving. So you need to keep going forward. Working out with fear and trembling is not a shaking of weakness. It's a healthy fear of trembling. Not wanting to offend God. Not wanting to be obedient, disobedient to God. And having an awe and respect for His majesty and His holiness. I don't fear God in shaking. I fear God with respect and honor because of what He's done for me. So the secret to understanding following God is all about obedience, not about intellect. The government bases its decisions on intellect, what they see, and what they think would be right, scientific proven. But God bases it on obedience to Christ. The world loves intellectuality, but God loves obedience in Him, in our lives. Now, this obedience is costly. It's costly because we are going against the grain of the world. So as my brother is praying here and talking about, yes, we need to stand up based on obedience to Jesus Christ. I was talking to a friend of mine who does spiritual care at the hospital. And he said to me, he's a brother who loves the Lord. He's He writes music. He's written music collaborating with Steve Bell. And him and I have fellowship many times. Actually, John and we've had Bible study with him. And he said to me the other day, he says, Bruce, my work is getting harder. Because of the phrases we use in pronouns, they want me to use the, they, and all this kind of stuff. And it does not sit well with me. He said, there might come a time where I might have to stand up and I might lose my job. I said, yeah. Are you willing to be obedient to Jesus Christ where you lose your job? That's the question. Are you willing to be obedient to Jesus Christ where you may not have the proper relationship with your wife or your kids? I was talking to a sister in the Lord who I did some ministering with, and one of the things was she has a daughter who rips her and rips her husband up, disrespectful to her father, disrespectful to her mother. She's always right. And I always said to her, the only way this is going to work is if you stand up for Jesus Christ, because she's disrespecting you. And the thing we need to understand also is we are fighting a spiritual battle. What I love about this church praying this morning is you're praying here, but you have no idea what the spirits are doing around here. So I said, unless you stand up against that spirit of anger from your daughter and of disrespect, you can continue to walk the way you're walking. She said to me yesterday, for the first time, her daughter came in and yelled at her father, lied to her mother, and she says, I want to talk to you. The mother says, no, I want to talk to you. And she said, you've been disrespecting him for so long. You've been lying about your father so long. This will not be tolerated anymore. And her mother, her daughter left. She hasn't heard from her daughter in 2 or 3 days. I said, so how do you feel about that? You feel upset? She says, yeah. I said, that's normal. Do you feel a little guilt? She goes, yeah, that's normal. But you're obedient to Jesus Christ. And when you make a decision, you need to let the chips fall where they fall. Because God is in control when you will be obedient to Him. So we need to do that in our families. Even Christians. Sometimes our kids and Christian families are not going to be obedient to us. Sometimes our co-workers are not going to get along with us. Sometimes you're going to gossip behind them. How do we handle that? We handle it by doing what Christ would want us to do, even with our enemies. Driving, getting cutting off, the first thing you want to do is give them the national finger. Pray for your enemies, the Bible says. Love your enemies, the Bible says. God wants us to step out of our comfort zone and do what's right. So what happens? God saves us. He fills us with His Spirit. Then He says, now prove it by being obedient to Christ. Then He says, now work it out by being obedient to Christ. And He says, now it's up to you to be loyal to me while the nature of things around you will try and make you disloyal. How do you do that? Be obedient to Christ. So considering all that, looking in the book of Lamentations, what's interesting about that is when you look at the book of Job, we see a man of God puzzled with the results of suffering and evil, as with the book of Lamentations. But the difference is this. Job's evil and suffering was explained. Not to him, but to us. Jeremiah lamented a tragedy that was entirely Jerusalem's making. God allowed the Babylonians to conquer Jerusalem. The people of this once great city experienced the judgment of a holy God, and the results were devastating. This happened 800 years after Moses delivered the Hebrews out of Egypt. And as you read the verses in Lamentations, you wonder how many ways Jeremiah could describe the desolation of this once proud city. Lamentations 2:12 says, young men and women were cut down in Lamentations 2:21. Christian bathed from their mothers, Lamentations 2:12. Formerly compassionate mothers used their children for food in Lamentations 4:10. Even the city is described by Jeremiah as being judged as a pile of rubble. But at the heart of this book, at the center of being lament over sin in the world, comes Lamentations 3, 2:25. Which I'm going to read again. Jeremiah says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. He didn't just say love. He said great love. There's great, there's good, there's okay, and there's poor. It was great love. We're not consumed because of his great love. We are not dealt with in the way the world wants to deal with us because of his great love for us. The Bible says, for his compassion never fails. Can you imagine? God's compassion never fails. When we think that it does, he's saying it never does. But Lord, this doesn't make sense. He says, it doesn't stop. My compassion never stops. In fact, the Bible says that his compassion is new every morning. We carry today to tomorrow. God forgets about today. It's a new day, brother. Let's start new. I love you more than you ever know. Don't carry tomorrow and today. Don't carry your past 20 years ago and today. It's a new day. As the Bible says, they are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I think I said to Leroy the other day, we were young. We used to say God is good. But now that we're older, we say God is good and God is faithful. Now how can we say God is faithful? Because we've been through stuff. You've been through stuff. God is faithful. And then he goes to say, when he sees all this, he says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Hallelujah. He's all I got. He's all I got to hang on to. I heard someone say one time, you don't know how much Jesus is until you know that he's all you got. One of the best things is when the Lord brings you to a place when you realize that he's all you got. Nothing else to turn to. Can't turn to the world. Can't turn to my mother. Can't turn to the government. Can't turn to the world. But Jesus is my portion. He's all I got. Thank you, Lord. This verse stands strong during the darkness as a light to all of us who are suffering and discouraged because of sin in the world. So church, this brings up a question. What do you do when God's promises are challenged by the life that God gives you? What do you do when God promised you this, but my life is going that way? Because that was what's going on with Jeremiah. When you think of, when I think about what's going on in Hawaii right now, to go to sleep one day and wake up next day and it's gone. In Ukraine, many people left their villages and towns and came back and they were gone. Can you imagine waking up one morning and Osborne Village is flattened? There's no legislative building. Pola Park is flattened. There's a certain thing that goes on in your mind that says, this is surreal. And this is what happened during COVID, because it's never happened before. The mind had a hard time adjusting. It didn't adjust quickly like you're turning a corner. Your mind says, what do I do with this? And how do I adjust to this? So if you can imagine the Hebrews, this happened, and saying, How do you adjust to this? Where's my mind? What do I think? But Jeremiah came down to the point and said, the Lord is our portion. What do you do when God cries out? Sorry, what do you do when you cry out to God and God seems to have pulled away and turned a deaf ear and there's no answers? Well, you know what the truth is? The truth is God will one day provide in heaven. What he provides in heaven will be different from what he provides now. For what he provides now is sometimes very difficult to appreciate. And that's why I tease my wife, we need to have an attitude of gratitude. We need to say, I don't have this, that's okay. The Lord supplies my needs according to his riches and glory. I was diagnosed with cancer. I'm going to deal with it appropriately. I'm going to get the help I need. I'm going to get my church to pray for me. But you know what? I can trust in God. He's faithful. He is faithful. This walk with God is such a mental battle because the enemy is fighting for your mind. No wonder why Paul said, renew your mind. This is a battle. You know what? Sometimes when I get hurt physically, I can deal with that. But when I hurt mentally, it's a whole new ballgame. There's stuff like intrusive thoughts and overthinking. God, save my mind. Help me. Get a hold of it. Lord, get a hold of my mind, Lord, and stabilize it, Jesus. I fight. What I'm going to share with you is happened to Christians, not non-Christians. My husband Larry died of COVID at the age of 60, and he was vaccinated. My wife Bev died of COVID at the age of 62, and she wasn't vaccinated. My friend Barry was diagnosed with cancer at the age of 58, and 1 year later, he was diagnosed with Parkinson's disease. My daughter and her husband were missionaries in the Middle East. They had two beautiful children. She complained that he was always controlling and always had to be right. When they came to Winnipeg, they split up. Now she's not going to church. She's dating a non-Christian man. I have kids that don't respect me. I have a boss that doesn't respect me, doesn't care the good work that I present. I have a husband or wife that does not respect me. Church, I'm not talking about non-Christians. I'm talking about Christians. One of the things that the devil's trying to do is destroy family. We need to set up a solid front. Because if he destroys our family, then we're done. When the enemy tries to get between my wife and I, people start laughing. We are married. Our marriage is not perfect, but our foundation is on Jesus Christ. So I need to make myself vulnerable to her and listen to her. And she needs to make herself vulnerable to me so that I can listen. I need to make myself vulnerable to her so that she'll accept me as I am. And she needs to make herself vulnerable to me that I can accept her the way she is in Christ. Because Christ has a plan. That way, we're not leaving room for the devil to get in there. Right? We're putting Christ first in our marriage. Now, is our marriage perfect? No. But it is perfect in Christ. There's a difference. You can take that for what you want. So Jeremiah realized from experience that in all this mess and sin that God is still faithful. That to know God in the trenches is to know why you trust him. If you're not in the trenches, then you're not going to know how to trust in God. So be thankful when you're in the trenches. The God of all grace, who called us into his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, he himself will restore you, make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Hebrews 13:5 says, God will never leave you or forsake you. In another version it says, I will never leave you or abandon you. In another version it says, I will never fail you or abandon you. You know what that's telling me? God is saying that He gives you two things, His promise and His presence. He will never take His promises away from you, and He will never take His presence away from you. Church, God is never as near to us than when He seems so far from us. I'm going to be closing. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I'll wait on Him, Jeremiah said. Jeremiah was able to say this because he believed it. He was banking in Jehovah God to honor His word and His promises that He gave to Israel. And what's beautiful, if you read Jeremiah 29:10-14, he says this. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are complete for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promises to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. Hallelujah. I could stop right there. But he goes on. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen. Church, I said, you guys are a praying church. God is hearing your prayer. You will seek me and find me, and when you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And will bring you back bring you back from captivity. As my old pastors used to say, I'm getting my cork a bubbling. I will gather you from all nations and places, and have banished you from, declares the Lord, and will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Jeremiah remembered that, and he hung on. God gives us scriptures that we can hang on to. Those scriptures are worth more than gold. I had someone pray me the other day. They prayed over me, and I said, this is worth more than $1 million, because it's spiritual. And it's Christ. Just like we today, we're staking ourselves on the promises of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ will see us through time. That Jesus Christ will see us through death. And that Jesus Christ will see us through to eternity. Church, the deepest pleasure we are capable of experiencing that Jeremiah could not, is that we have a direct encounter with God through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. God is determined to have a close relationship with you and I. God cannot resist giving us His highest good. We need to realize that in all this mess, that Jesus Christ is our portion. God bless you. Stay up here. Praise God.
Amen. Good message.
Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. The Lord. Hallelujah.
I just have one question. I thought that all Christian marriages were perfect. I'm feeling a little disillusioned.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
Are you married?
Yeah.
Case closed.
can you pray for us, please?
Amen. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful. So thankful today that you're here. You're the reason, Lord God, that we are here. You have a plan for us from the very beginning, Lord. We are living in times where things are so confused, that the world is so confused, that they don't know the answer. Lord, help us to be as candles in the night, to be a light Amen. On the beacon, to be the lighthouse, Lord God, Amen. To souls in this world, and just setting an example, Lord. If we can't speak, at least help us to set an example that they can say, what's different about them? I want
Praise
that.
God. Praise God.
Lord, help us to just allow your Spirit to minister in a way that confuses the world, but that glorifies you, Jesus Christ. Amen. I thank you for Kings. I thank you for King's Fellowship. I thank you that they're a beacon on this corner. I thank you, Lord, that they may be low in number, but they're powerful in Christ. Hallelujah. That's because they love you. That's because they're putting you first. That's because they're praying to you. And that's because they are faithful to you, Jesus Christ. Bless this church. Bless the leadership in this church. And bless every family in this church in Christ. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Mm.